kind of.
Donut
Blog Talk Radio.
It's okay. No, sorry. Welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of Sands of Time by Thunderbeat. And you have tuned into Awakenings, which is part of the Converging Flow. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. Awakenings hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, and conscious beings of all walks of life that are in this awakened state and integrating this awakening into their everyday living. Awakenings Radio is an interactive live internet radio show that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. I want to welcome all of you that are coming in on the lines as well as in the chat room and those that are listening live via cosmicdimensions.com as well as those that will be listening later by the other podcast stations and tunes. Those that are also joining from Twitter, hello everyone. If you'd like to call in for questions, you can call in at 347-539-5122. You can also use this call-in number to just listen. And if you do have a question and you're online, if you press number 1, that will alert me on the switchboard that there's a question. And also if there's a question in the chat room, questions in the chat, just either type in caps or put the question mark icon. And that just me manage and see what's going on here. It gets my attention, so to speak. So I really want to welcome everyone. It's great to connect back in. And that's all I really want to say. I really wanted the program. I guess it's more like it. We have with us... I feel very blessed, actually. We have with us Chakrapani, who is a world-renowned Vedic astrologer. He's really considered a teacher of teachers. Chakrapani is credited for training countless astrologers in advanced methods of delineation. He's been a keynote speaker in many symposiums, and he actually really does continue to be sought after for teaching engagements wherever individuals are wanting to learn Vedic astrology. Talking about this, I would like to bring on Chakrapani. Hi, Chakrapani.
Hi.
I'm so tickled to have you on Awakenings. It's I've heard amazing things about your work, and as we were speaking before we went on air, that a few clients of mine that have gone to you over the years and just rave about your work. And then as well as I didn't realize that you studied and worked with Muktananda, and then you told me you actually worked with his teacher, Nityananda. So that, oh my God, I mean, that is amazing. That is just amazing. What, if you can, listeners, tell us a little bit about and first of all, welcome to the program. What brought you to Vedic astrology?
Oh, Vedic astrology, you know, it's my family profession.
Okay.
My father is Vedic astrologer,
mm-hmm.
and he made a living from that. Then he told me, "Oh, you don't study Vedic astrology. The time is finished now. Now all people are." science and all other kind of professions.
Oh, right.
So you go for a profession, he said. Yeah, you know, but I was interested. So people used, you know, in a village, like what happens is people come to home, discuss their problems or issues or charts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the meetings are open, means anybody can come and visit. It is not like...
And what kind of... And Chakrapani, I'm going to have you speak right into the microphone again like we did.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to just be aware of that because it's hard to hear.
Yeah, and if people come to the home and to ask the questions, and I used to, as a small boy, I used to sit in those meetings and take interest. And it is, I was curious, and also I took a lot of interest in that. Every day I sat, whenever my free time is there, before go to school and after coming from the school. So it was a very interesting, and that is why I got interested in the study of Vedic astrology, in spite of the fact my father said, no, you know, it is better you go into a profession. So because he was telling me that I should go into a profession, I became a lawyer by education.
Oh!
Even though I never stepped into the court even one day. I didn't want to. But by education, I am a lawyer.
Okay. So when you were growing up, in your family, were people, you'd have these groups or meetings and people would be talking about Vedic astrology?
Yes, that's what I said. That's the people used to come home to discuss astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I used to some participate. I used to be a listener, quiet listener, because.
Okay. So you were learning then.
You were learning as a child. So I took interest, even when I'm in college, and I took interest in astrology as a hobby, and I did as a hobby practice for over 10 years as I was working in a job in the evenings. I practiced astrology every day and free without charging any money for 10 years. Yes, because it is interesting to me. That is why.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to come home only 12 o'clock in the midnight. Even I was in the college. That is what I did. I took a lot of interest in astrology.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to me. And, you know, you take interest and it became my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I am very passionate about Vedic astrology. And it is not my profession. It is my passion.
Wow. Now, what a lot of people ask this, and I'm not sure either. What's the difference between Western astrology and Vedic astrology? There are some differences, yes?
Lot of differences. You see, first of all, mathematical differences,
okay.
Philosophical differences, spiritual differences, interpretations. Everything is different.
Everything is, okay.
Yes, everything is different. The whole philosophy is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, now how so? Because, now it's interesting also, your dad said that people were more into science, and in Western astrology, they consider it a science.
Correct.
Yes. So in the Vedic, what is a system, what is philosophy, what is astrology, Vedic astrology considered? What would it?
Vedic astrology is considered a divine subject.
Oh, a divine subject. Okay.
It is a divine subject. Unless a person is dedicated, willingness to work hard, and he has a great devotion to the subject, the knowledge will not come out easily. Yes. So you have to have the devotion. It's the divine subject. That is why it is called the Eye of the Vedas.
The Eye of the Vedas.
It's the Eye of the Vedas. That means Vedas will be understood more clearly once you know astrology.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So when, so you understand the scripture, so to speak, the Vedas.
No, I don't understand the Vedas that much because I spent all of my study in the astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I understand the Vedas. Yes, you understand that, you understand the general concepts and meanings and philosophy, the Vedic philosophy. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So the it is quite different. If it's a divine subject, then in the Vedic astrology, what is the Vedic astrologer looking to do for the person that's coming to them to study astrology or to get their chart, let's say, read?
People come for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Vedic, ultimately, what is Vedic astrology? Vedic astrology is a blueprint of the person's past karmas reflected in the chart. And how it is manifesting in this life.
Right.
So that is what Vedic astrology is. And that is why it is called much more divinely oriented, because it is connected to the life of the life experience in the past life.
In the past. So it's a lot with the past life?
Yes.
Mm.
Or you can call it past karma. Reflected in the current chart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The past karmas. Now, what also would you, it's a good point, you said karmas. What? How would you describe karmas?
Karma means the action and reaction. Whatever as you sow, that is how you reap.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you have sown in your past life, you will reap in this life.
Mm. Okay. Now, would that be seen, Chakrapani? Would that be seen in the chart? Would that be seen? What the previous, could that the previous life be seen?
No, previous life is not seen in the way people think. No.
Okay.
But actions of the previous life is seen in the present life. By the experience a person will go through.
Mm.
That is the result of the past life's actions.
But you may not see the past life in the chart, but by what somebody is going through now in their life,
yes,
you could tell.
In that indicates what the past life could have been.
Mm.
You don't see it, but you can infer what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a predictive element in the Vedic?
Of course, Vedic astrology is called the predictive astrology.
Mm-hmm.
It is called the predictive astrology.
Yeah, I've
heard. First of all, we have to understand, what is Vedic astrology?
Mm-hmm.
Astrology is a science of indications only.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say it will happen. It says it can happen.
Can happen, okay.
What is the difference between the will happening and can happening? It is the will of the person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why it is called that we have to make effort in this life,
mm-hmm,
to overcome the tendencies reflected in the chart.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is meant for. It shows the tendencies. If you don't take any action, then the tendencies expressed in the chart will manifest.
Mm-hmm. Now, when someone's coming to you and you see these tendencies, as a Vedic astrologer, would you give them suggestions as to what to do?
Definitely.
You do? Okay.
One of the important functions of the Vedic astrologer is to give suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
You call it propitiations. What are the propitiations? They're all remedies for,
mm-hmm,
these things. There are three things you have to see. Every activity which is shown in the Vedic chart cannot be remedied, which is called predestined. Something is predestined. Suppose somebody is dying, it is predestined.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you be able to see what is predestined?
Yeah. You know, you can easily see. As an astrologer, you will know. When the planets are very strongly indicated in the chart, then it is not easy to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a theoretically, everything can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically. But practically, it may not be, because every change is provided we are able to apply 100% karmana, manasa, vacha. Karmana means what we do. Manasa means mind. Vacha means how you speak.
Mm-hmm.
With these three factors, if you are completely focused only on one thing, you can change everything.
Gosh, it really is quite spiritual. I didn't realize.
It's totally spiritual.
Yeah, it's totally spiritual. It's very, you know, and I know, you know, friends of mine said it's very, 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 you know, different and very, you know, of course we hear about the predictive element, but I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize that it is how spiritual it is, and it's really like a spiritual session in a sense.
That is why indications in the chart is generally can be changed, if at all, by using willpower, making effort, and gaining the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
These three things, many of the things we can change.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything, but mm-hmm. many of the three things. But everything can be changed, provided we are able to use that karmana, manasa, vacha, whole attention, the whole being in wanting to make a change.
Mm.
It is not easy.
No.
Because it is not easy to put 100% attention on the karmana, manasa, vacha. Not easy.
Mm-hmm. The karmana is, and then
karma means what we do.
What we do, karma, and the mana, the mind.
Manasa means mind.
Like, it comes from mantra, yes?
Yes.
Similar to mantra.
Yes. And vacha means what you speak. What you think, what you do. It should be all one.
Hmm.
That is what it means.
So in Western astrology, we have the you know, someone, they would say their chart is afflicted, or they have certain problems, and that's what you're talking about as the tendencies, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So if someone has, let's say you're reading for someone and they have, you can see the problems that they're being created because they have certain tendencies.
Correct.
Especially emotional.
Correct.
Would something come through you, let's say, from divining, something spiritual, to suggest to them to balance this out?
Correct, because many times I suggest some mantras.
Okay.
Yeah, suggest some mantras for particular idea, different mantras.
Mm-hmm.
Want to have a child, different mantra. Want to get married, a different mantra. Want to overcome all the obstacles we are facing, different mantra. But the person who chants the mantra, practices it, has to do it with great devotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So in a way, you say this blueprint, what do you feel, let me ask you, from your learnings and also your awareness as a teacher, in a sense as also a healer, what people are coming, what are people coming here for? I mean, our life, is it to complete something?
People coming here to fulfill their karmic tendencies.
Okay.
That is what it is. We are all here to fulfill our tendencies. Or karmic obligations.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call it karmic duties. Say whatever you like.
Right.
But that is what it is.
So it's interesting, because when you're saying this, Chakrapani, that in a sense, we, and I think this is so important for people to know, that we do have a blueprint.
Correct.
That were coming in to live out. And some people call it the soul's purpose.
Correct.
Yes. And in the Vedic astrology, you're seeing this blueprint. So you can also see why somebody is having trouble living their blueprint, in a sense.
Correct.
And how to get them back on track.
Correct. Because many people may not be interested in doing any work.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem, though.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? Because you're saying it takes a lot of work.
Yes. To change, it takes work.
Yeah.
Unless you pay something, you don't get anything.
People
don't understand that.
Yes.
No free lunch.
Right, that's no free lunch.
that is called because we are all the karmic beings.
Mm-hmm.
To fulfill our obligations and duties in this life.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in a way which is uplifting, which is positive, which is presentable, which can benefit everybody. Then it is much more pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, would you also be able to see in the chart? I'm sure you would, but let's say if somebody had was meant to be more of, let's say, service for humanity, would that be able to be seen?
Very much so.
Oh, would? Oh, okay.
Very much, because Saturn is a planet which brings the idea of want to be helpful to others, of some service to people at large. When
mm-hmm.
Saturn is very strong in somebody's chart, that is what it does. It prompts people to do things by which they can benefit people.
Mm.
Yes, service. That is what service. Whether as a doctor, as a any other professional, any helping profession, or in any form, as a politician, any form, you do. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is the planet of karma. It is the planet of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
That Saturn brings this helping people who are suffering.
Mm.
Common people.
Mm.
People who need help.
Yes, and so in the Vedic tradition, is any one planet more important?
Every planet is important.
Every planet, okay.
Every planet is important. It is a combination of all the influences of all the planets.
Mm. So it may not, even though, let's say Saturn is about service, that's not any more important than another.
Correct.
Okay. So it's all good. It sounds like, in a way, it's really about the individual, their personal karma, and,
That's correct, because the whole planets put together makes a person individual.
Mm-hmm.
The individual is the sum total of all the energies representing those planets. That is what individual is.
Mm. Now, Chakrapani, let me ask you, does the Vedic astrology take into account the yugas, the cycles that we're in?
Yugas, yes, correct.
It does.
Yes, because we are now in what is called Kali Yuga.
Yes.
Kali Yuga generally considered dark ages.
I know. Yeah, how would you interpret the Kali Yuga, though? How would you, because it seems like it's a lot of disruption, but it seems like we have more light on the planet as opposed to the darkness.
There is always light. Supposing earlier yugas, Krita Yuga, Trita Yuga, they are the planets of the light. There people lived for thousands of years. And in the Kali Yuga, people don't live thousands of years.
Can you say that again? In the Kali Yuga, what happened?
Kali Yuga, we we don't have a longevity. We have less longevity.
Oh.
In the Krita Yuga, past Yuga, they lived long, many, many years, long, long, long years.
Hmm. So you're saying, and there's a Tammy, there's a woman in the chat room that's saying the dark before the dawn.
That's correct.
Oh, that's correct. Okay, Tammy.
It's the dark before the dawn. It is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that is, but Kali Yuga has got one great advantage. The advantage of the Kali Yuga is God is pleased easily when the devotion is given, when the devotion is there with the person.
Mm.
So that is the advantage.
So now let me ask you then, if I'm hearing you right, if in this Kali Yuga, this time that we're in, and if it's about devotion, would this be a time for people to connect more spiritually?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That when the people are connected, when the devotion begins to influence them, then they are closer to light.
Mm.
And it comes much more with less effort. In the earlier yogas, one has to really do a lot of penance to get that kind of a light. In this yoga, it is much easier.
Mm.
Provided you get into that path.
Mm-hmm. So is the Kali Yuga, the time that we're in now, is it a time for more people? Because we're in this awakening. So does the Kali Yuga bring more people awakening because of the disruptions?
Correct. Because of the suffering.
Oh, suffering. Oh, yeah. That you're saying it just as is.
Suffering makes people to be much more looking up for support from the divine.
Ah, okay. I guess, that's interesting. So I guess because I've, lived my life so much this way, I wasn't seeing it as darkness. But when you put it this way, that this disruption or the suffering...
See, darkness means that people who do not know, who are ignorant, is called darkness.
Okay.
That is what darkness means.
It just means ignorance?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Now that makes... Okay.
People are ignorant, not aware of the spiritual energies.
Mm.
Then they are called dark people.
Ah, okay.
That is why it is called dark ages. You see, in the previous yugas, even the demons, they were spiritual.
The demons were spiritual.
Even the demons.
Oh.
They were spiritual because they wanted to do penance and get quit from the gods so that they can have more power. But in this yuga, not many people are spiritual. Most of them, we are all dark. So we get into spirituality. Then we are into the light.
Mm, okay, that makes
sense. What you call awakening.
Awakening. Okay, that's making more sense because what you're answering, Chakrapani, for many, and myself included, is that all this disruption that's happening, all this, the upheaval, the fear, the suffering, as you put it, is really for people to become more aware of the spiritual energies.
That's right.
Ah, okay.
They become aware of the power beyond them.
The power beyond them, okay.
Till then, as long as everything is good and everything is okay, people think they have the power.
Yes, that's so true. Oh my God, that is so true. Yes, it's only when things don't get smooth that people look around and realize, maybe I can't do it, or it's not me, or maybe there's another power. Now, Chakrapani, we have a question in the chat room from Debbie, and she's asking some of the, let's say the darker, what you say, the dark people are the ignorant. They're just not aware of the spiritual energies. She's asking, would that make them young souls?
No.
Not necessarily. Okay.
Not necessarily, because that young soul or old soul, all everybody old soul, but they act young when they are dark.
Oh, so they can be an old soul, but acting young.
Because they are not gone into the spiritual growth.
They're not longing for the spiritual growth.
That's correct.
Okay. Why would they not?
Because they are not motivated. In motivation, the desire and understanding.
Mm.
And willing to make effort.
Yeah. So it's almost like every so often then we have these big disruptions, so more people kind of wake up, I guess.
Correct.
Oh, my God. How long do we have to have this call? Can we change the game? I mean, oh, my God. I'm loving this. It makes sense, but how long do we have to do this?
It's the nature of life and the nature of the world. Mm-hmm. Because good and the bad, they exist side by side all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. They are in a state of balance.
Mm.
That's what it means. We have to go from the bad to the good, from the darkness to the light.
Mm-hmm.
To the ignorance, the awakening. This is what we have to do. And
yeah.
It has to be done knowingly.
Right.
Yes.
Now, another question from Light. She's saying that she thought old, or young, let's see, she thought old souls got it and were just here to coast and have fun. Oh, I wish. What do you think of that, Chakravani?
You know, nobody in this world is for fun.
Yeah.
Moment they are here for fun, the fun will not last long.
That's right.
We are all here to go towards the light.
Mm.
Every one of us. But we are at a different speed and at a different wavelength.
Mm.
Everybody is seeking the light.
Oh, everybody is seeking the light.
Oh, everybody. But in a different speed.
Okay.
Somebody fast, somebody slow, somebody is very, very slow. So at different levels, everybody is there going forward in their own speed.
Mm. So that's part of it. So everybody's at a different speed and wavelength.
Correct.
But in a sense, that's like what's said, you know, in Scripture, that we're all going in the same direction. All paths lead to the one.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
You,
that is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shaz is asking in the chat or mentioning lessons. Is it also about learning lessons? Are we learning from each other?
We're learning from each other. We're learning on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing, Chakrapani, in the chart, when you read for others, are you able to show their learning lessons, what they've come here to learn, so you can kind of help them on that?
Exactly.
Okay.
That is what I indicate. These are the challenges you have to deal with. And more you understand, more you will be in a head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you look at it as challenges.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
That's called lessons.
Okay. The lessons. Would you also be able to see in the chart most likely how somebody's life would unfold?
You know, that I say, as I said, correct. Most likely what could be the way it will unfold, absolutely. But it also, as I told you before, is by making effort, using willpower,
yeah,
gaining the grace of God, they can, some of them skip.
They can skip.
Don't do it, then see, that is a
Yeah, so it's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water.
Correct.
Okay, so they still have to do the work.
That's right.
Because I know people that have gone to you, even like for their children, when they're born, to see what the best direction is for them. Like.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, it is very important for the parents to really understand the future of children as they are very young, very, very small, because they can help them to grow in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have got certain weaknesses in some areas, then how to treat them, how to make them go into the right direction, or take care of their health, or take care of their mental and emotional state. All the, you know, it can help in numerous ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the mental, so not even just what kind of things to study or what direction, but...
It's all about even the psychological state.
Yeah.
How to improve, if there is some potential problem, then how to improve it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in their, when they are children, it is easy to have major...
Mm-hmm.
As the doctors say, it is easy to manipulate the body of the child than of the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Because elders, if you manipulate, the bones may break.
That's right. Now, speaking medically with bones, now what about medical issues?
Issues also, potential for what kind of a health issue, then how to deal with that. You can tell that.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking...
In fact, today, when I'm talking to somebody, I said, unless you are obsessed about being healthy, you are a candidate for health problems. So it is better for you to take interest in your health in every respect.
Mm.
That person said, yes, that's correct, because I have been taking that kind of interest now.
Mm.
So that avoids health problems. If we don't give attention to your health, you are a candidate for problems. I say like that.
Mm-hmm. See, I think that's really important, really smart, because then you can, from the early ages, eat certain foods.
Correct.
Right? And also, sensing, would you be able to tell if somebody's, like, their vitality or their constitution?
Correct. Absolutely. Everything.
Everything.
Yes. Every aspect of the personal life, physical body, and emotional and psychological, as well as spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Funny, I do have to ask, because I had somebody email me, a couple questions that people emailed in, but one in particular was that they had heard on the Vedic astrology that you can know when somebody was going to die. And how?
It is a potential death.
Okay.
And what can happen and when it is likely. It doesn't mean when, now, whether is it possible? 100% possible in Vedic astrology.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, Vedic astrologer has to be a divine being in a sense. He must spend all his time in study. Then
mm-hmm.
he will be able to tell.
Okay.
Any astrologer cannot, because people like us, who has to make a living out of it, how does that kind of a deep study?
That's right. Oh, I got you. Yes. Okay.
Yes. If somebody gives me research money, then I don't have to look for clients.
That's right.
I will do that.
But are there people that want that?
Pardon? What did you say?
Are there people that would go to somebody to want to know how they were going to die or the time of their death?
They do cost me too. I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'll give you a story. There was a great astrologer in the King Chandragupta Maurya in India,
mm-hmm.
century BC. His name is Varahamihira.
Mm.
A child was born to the king. And King Amandi astrologer, he was a court astrologer. So said, you know, the child is born and so and so date, and I want to know his future. You tell me, you come with a prediction of this is future. So he went, sent the astrologer back for study and come back when he's ready. And he came with his prediction.
Wow.
He said, on the sixth year and the sixth day of the month, at 6 o'clock in the evening, this child will die of attack by boar.
Attacked by a bull?
Boar.
Bull, yes.
Yes. So King asked, are you sure? He said, that is what I see. Okay, then I will make it wrong. Okay, I'll be very happy. Then King built a six-floor building. And each floor has got gatekeepers, you know, the guards.
Mm-hmm.
So the child was kept in the sixth floor every day. And he was looked after by people, whatever, all the facilities of the king. When the sixth year came, the astrologer, the king, this is the year. And when the sixth month came, the astrologer said, now you have to see every day what is happening to the child. You must get the report. The guard must come from every floor and give you the report, what is happening. And when the sixth day came, at the 6 o'clock came, they stopped him. Oh, king, did you receive the report? He said, no, everything so far, whatever I received, it is good, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? No, I am not sure. So let us go and check. So they go to the first floor. They said, oh, no, everything is okay, no problem. Second floor, the guard says, no news, everything is a good news.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, they went up to the sixth floor. Sixth floor guard said, no, child is okay. He's just playing in the terrace. He's okay. At the sixth hour, they are there. And they go to the terrace. They see the child is with the blood and lying on the floor. And how did it happen?
How did it happen?
Well, there was insignia of the architectural insignia. He was standing under the architectural insignia of the bowl.
Oh, the bowl. Oh, no.
And watching the sunset.
Oh, no.
And he died.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That is what predicts Vedic astrology is.
Wow. Yeah.
And he could do that. Why? Because king has appointed him, he has nothing to worry about the money or anything.
Right.
That all he's doing is studying. See, that is that kind. He was, well, of course, Varahamihira was also an astronomer. He was an astronomer, he was an astrologer. And when you have that kind of facility, you can do anything with Vedic astrology.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, I find, too, what's interesting, also, though, see, because obviously, psychically or in prediction, a bull is a bull, you know, and so probably people, they were looking for an animal bull, you know.
Yes, correct.
And so it still happened, you know, because I think that many people, that's what happens with many people is that they hear something or know something and they're looking, we look with our eyes that of course it's going to be a live bull, you know.
Correct. Yes, because king, everywhere, he was a king, he could avoid. He thought he can avoid that whatever the...
That's right. He thought he could avoid it. And that's
yes.
It. We cannot avoid our path.
A destiny. This is what is destined. And it cannot be avoided.
No. Now, we have a question in the chat for... And I've been putting your website in the chat room, but I wanted to also... let people know that are listening by phone as well as that are going to be listening to the archives later. You can find out more about Chakrapani or inquire about getting a reading, because someone in the chat room wants to get a review. What is the best way to go to your website, Chakrapani?
Yes, and get the fill in the form and send the form.
Ah, okay. So there's a form. So the website is vedicastrology.com.
And chakrapani.com.
Or also chakrapani.com.
Correct.
And let me just spell it for those. It's V-E-D-I-C.
Yes.
And then astrology.com.
Correct.
Or chakrapani.com. chakrapani.com. What does Chakrapani mean?
Chakrapani means Lord Vishnu, the protector of the world. He is called Chakrapani because he was holding a chakra in his hand, which is an weapon. Chakra is a weapon.
Ah, because I was thinking, was it part of the chakras?
He was holding a weapon.
Ah.
And the weapon is in the form of chakra. Chakra is a wheel. So when he throws the weapon, then it takes away the head, severs the head of the person. Lord Vishnu is called the protector of the world.
The protector. And that's what you're doing with your readings. That's what you're doing. It's fascinating to me, you know. Now, Chakrapani, what do you think about what's happening now, the changes? We're in, as you said before, we're in this Kali Yuga, but what do you see coming?
I have written and published an article about predictions for 2009 to 2010 for the Vedic New Year.
For the Vedic New Year?
New Year, Virodhi. I have published this article. It is my website.
On the website.
I recommend everybody to go through this.
This is
called 2009-2010 Predictions from Chakrapani. I published it in the month of March. It is from March to March. So I recommend everybody to go and read this.
Okay.
Because that gives you complete picture what is happening in this year and how and why.
Okay, and it's from 2009 to 2010. Yes. You have the predictions.
Yes, correct.
And that's on the website on the the Vedic Astrology.
Yes, correct.
.com. Okay.
Yes.
Oops, somebody already got me. I'm putting it in the chat room, Chakrapani, but somebody else already did. That's what I love about the internet, because everybody, people have posting your links and, you can, while you're talking with the person or those that are listening, can right away go start, looking up information on you. And so I don't know, it's so wonderful.
Yes, correct. I agree.
Yeah. And in the Vedic astrology, also the technology.
What did he say?
Well, in the Vedic astrology, would you be able to see that how, let's see, each era, the growth and what we're going to be focused on as human beings?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Even like with technology, things like that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Fascinating to me.
I published an article in 1998, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the month of August. I said in the next 10 years, there is going to be information, there is going to be technological revolution information. At that time, the information technology has not come. It came in October 98. And it is there in my, I published in an Indian magazine, and also it is in my website.
Mm.
Yes.
Is that there all as well?
Pardon?
The website?
Yeah, it's also there. It is also there.
Okay, so there's archives there that people can go to.
Yeah.
That's good to know. So listeners, participants in the chat room, you can definitely go to the website and check out.
There are a lot of articles I published.
Mm-hmm. And you keep them there in the archives then. There
yes,
we go.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, Chakrapani, and I'm probably not going to be saying this, the Jyotish?
Jyotish.
Jyotish.
Jyoti means
like,
light.
Is that like Jyota, say Jyota?
Jyoti means light. Same thing.
Light? Light?
Same thing, yes.
Jyota. Yeah, everybody. I told you we have, it reminded when I was reading about it, and I immediately went to the chant. I love that Jyota, say Jyota chant.
Correct, yes. Because it's about the light.
Oh, no wonder I love that chant. But proficient in Jyot. What is that? What is that? Mm-hmm.
What do you call?
Well, it says proficient in Jyotish.
Proficient in Jyotish.
Yes.
That means doing Jyotish, doing whatever Jyotish, astrology of any kind.
Okay.
Profession of Jyotish.
So it's a type of astrology?
No.
No.
It is the normal astrology.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It is a profession. Jyotish is a profession.
Profession of light?
No, profession of Jyotish.
Oh, profession. Okay. But I thought Jyotish meant light.
Jyotish means light.
Okay.
And because the astrology is light.
Oh.
It is the indicator of light from darkness. It leads you from darkness to light. That is what Jyotish means.
Ah, okay. Wow. Now that brings up something that some people have asked is, do some people, and also could you see this from the chart, do some people have more light than others?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they have cultivated more.
Okay. So it still comes, from the cultivation.
Cultivation. Life is nothing but cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
Cultivate good things, positive things, optimism, hopefulness, positiveness, God, trust in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then the more light will come.
So again, it's, you're not getting out of the work. It's still the cultivating.
It is all cultivating.
So in a way, okay, so there's your weapon. So you're helping people get through the Vedology in a way connect more into their light.
Correct.
Ah, okay.
Because when they come and talk to me, then I give them information. It gives him a totally new picture of their life. Because they all think, everybody thinks, oh, I know about myself. They think,
yes, true.
But they really don't know.
Yeah.
They really don't know. So I give them the understanding, then they have a much better and wider picture about their life.
Mm-hmm.
It is a kind of awakening. It is a kind of awakening. It is a kind of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That will help them to be much more positive and uplifting.
Mm. Which again is bringing in or allowing more of the light. Is it more about the allowing the light?
Yes, it is. Light is already there. You allow it to come out.
Okay. I thought,
it is hiding.
It's hiding. Yes. And some people, it's hiding a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
So in a way, what I'm hearing you say, it's really us that blocks the light.
Correct.
By what we're doing, or these challenges or things, that tendencies that might be.
Yes.
Now, do we ever get to a point where we're just complete light?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. When there is a complete light, there is no darkness, there is no unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
There is everything. Is happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow. Part of what I feel too, any of this unhappiness that we have comes from our darkness, which just means our ignorance.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Our unhappiness is Our darkness, our suffering is our darkness, our health problem is our darkness, everything is that darkness.
Which is just, the ignorance. So once we're more aware,
more and more, the degree of awareness brings a degree of light.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said Chakrapani mantra helps with that. What else helps that awareness?
Sitra means meditation and mantra.
Okay, so also the meditation, yes.
Meditation and mantra, they go together.
Okay.
They go together.
Now, if you wouldn't mind sharing, I just want to make a little side note here a little bit, because I'd like to hear your story. How did you meet Nityananda?
Oh, when I was 6 or 7 years old, two people were talking because he was walking in the village. Alone. He never allowed elderly people to come, only children. They would follow him in the street. And all children will follow him in the street. He will go to a candy shop and take out the candy shop and give to the children, distribute. And he will not pay the money to the candy shop. But that is what the candy shop man wants. He wants, he should come and take it and give to the children, that will bring him prosperity. That is what we believed in those days. He was passing through our neighborhood, it seems. I was not born at that time. I was born afterwards. So, everybody talks about him, remembers him. So, that has brought great devotion in me for really wanting to meet him. And I could not meet him because I could not travel until I was in 1952. He was passing through my town sometime in 1920s, somewhere. Yeah, people were in those days, they were so much fascinated by him. He was a great, great being. And unknown to people and never expressed anything, but never talked much. He never talked much.
He didn't talk much?
Very little.
Ah.
Very little. He did, but not talked. In my opinion, he was the greatest person in his period. Yes. That is my opinion.
Yeah. Now, he also gave Shaktipat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shaktipat by sight.
Oh, by sight.
He looked at you. You quivering and magnetized and electrified. You cannot talk.
Yes.
You are like that.
Yes. And of course he passed that to Muktananda, yes?
Right.
And now you spent a lot of time with Muktananda.
Yeah, about 28 years. That is my profession, really.
Yeah.
Pursuing the saints. That's what I did. I met many, many great saints.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many great saints of the time I met. Yeah. Until I came to America. That was it's my passion. And because of that, astrology became a passion. So it was my great fortune.
Yes. Well, and especially, it's like you came in to do this. This is it's your passion because it's your calling, you know?
My calling, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you knew at a young age.
Correct.
Yeah, and just followed that no matter, even though you went a different route a little bit, you never lost that. And I think that's important for people to hear is to follow that passion that will follow their heart, so to speak.
Correct.
Because that's leading from the soul. That's spirit-led.
Correct.
Yeah, Nityananda, amazing. So would you just sit with him?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was used to sit with him in a
respectable distance.
Because people are always afraid. We are all afraid of him, what he will say. So you will say, come on with the hand, sign language, you will say, go. Then we go. Nobody dare do otherwise.
So you'd sit and, okay, if he wants you to leave, he would just say go, or he would just shoo you with the hand?
Yes.
And that was, well, he was a realized being.
Yes, the greatest being on earth.
So what do you think you got from him or received from him?
What I got? Everything.
Everything. Wow.
Everything you learned me is I got from him.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing that the beings are like that, that can... I received Shaktipat from Muktananda and Gurumayi.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it really was. Yes, so I know that experience, that awakening and that deepening. Feel very blessed and gifted too. And I was spent some time in the ashram there.
I see.
Yeah. And I went to Nityananda. Of course, I went to his, you know, in the small village he was born. Went to the village to see where he spent a lot of, you know, his time, and whole other world.
Correct.
Do you still go back, Chakrapani?
Yeah. I go to Ganeshpuri. Yes.
Ganeshpuri, you do. Oh, great.
Yes.
Oh, that's the best food too.
You cannot.
No, you cannot forget Ganeshpuri. No. Wonderful, wonderful space, wonderful place. We have a couple of callers. I want to just see if there's questions here.
Yes.
Hi, 858-270. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi. 858. I don't have any specific questions. I just called in. I've actually had a reading before with Chakrapani and just was interested in what he had to say. So.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, glad that you could join the program then.
Oh, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
Yeah, let me see. We have another.
What is it? 347?
This is 04777.
What? 347-539?
Yes, yes.
5122.
Yes, did you have a question?
Radio way. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. My.
Chakrapani, can you hear?
I could not hear.
Okay.
Can you repeat?
Let's see. Now he's off. Okay. I guess they're just listening. Sometimes people are driving in their car, but this person sounded like another language. I wasn't able to catch the language. But those of you that are, you know, in the chat, seeing if you did have a question, you can call in at 347-539-5122. Let's see. I don't want to misspell it. Okay, I'll put the chat back in. Okay, let's see if they came back. Hello, 704-777. You're on Awakenings. Did you have a question? Okay. Not sure. Okay. Okay, we did have a question about the, did not want to misspell the, okay, the link that you can go to. Is either one of them good, Chakrapani? Either link?
Yes.
Either website?
Correct.
Okay. You can go to chakrapani.com, and I'm going to spell that. That's HAKRAPANI.com. Or you can go to vedicastrology.com, and that's VEDICASTROLOGY.com. So you can put that in the chat, and those of you that are emailing me and asking, so you have that. Oh, we did have one question. Now, Chakrapani, is there the phenomenon of Mercury retrograde in Vedic astrology?
Vedic astrology and Western astrology, as far as the technical points, they are same.
Okay.
Mercury is retrograde now. It is same in Vedic astrology. It is same in Western astrology.
Okay.
But what it means is different from Vedic astrology and Western astrology.
Okay, so in Vedic, Western astrology, it's seen, right, that the Mercury is slowing down so much that movement is faster than thought. So things can, especially technical things or things with communication or that have to do with Mercury, tend to get, you know, bogged down or a lot of errors or messed up or missed.
It does not happen to everybody in Vedic astrology.
Okay.
Some people it happens, some people it does not happen, depending on the position of the Mercury in the chart.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Everything is depending on the position of the chart. Even though this is a very, very difficult period for most people, but there some people will be very much benefited during this period. It all depends on the position of the planet in the particular person's chart.
Mm. So would it also be, do you have transits?
Yes.
In Vedic astrology? Okay. So would somebody, some Mercury retrogrades be, let's say, for lack of a better word, worse for some people at different times?
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Because usually I don't, you know, maybe technologies, but this one, I had a shelf fall. We had an earthquake here, and then I sprained my ankle. And that's not, so I don't know. I'm thinking it's something, a personal probably configuration or personal to natally in the chart. Now we have another question here, Chakrapani. Is the significance of the galactic center in Vedic astrology?
Galactic center is a center, I think it is called the center of the planets in the sky. It is basically not Vedic astrology, it is astronomy.
Astronomy, okay. So in the Vedic tradition, you're right, it is astronomy. Yeah, that is more astronomy.
Astronomy.
Okay.
Yes, Vedic astrology is an indication of the planets in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it wouldn't have any influence astrologically on somebody's chart then?
I don't know what it means. Galactic center means it is a galactic center. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with that. It has got to do with the whole world events in the happening in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Now the events that are happening, like in the Kali Yuga, which we're in now, or the disruption that's happening, or what people are saying about 2012, are you able to see that in Vedic astrology?
You know, I don't believe there is going to be a much difficult time in 2012 than it is today.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I agree. I think it's probably going to be easier because we'll all have to the suffering, right?
Yes.
That's, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think, I'm interested, I've read a little bit about your predictions for 2009. I want to read a bit more because working on an internet project and one of the people I'm involved with has done quite a bit of work with you and so gets that and had sent it to me. But I want to, now that we've talked, I want to read some of it. Now that's one thing, Chakrapani, that brings me up to, how could someone learn about Vedic astrology to even know enough to know some of the terms? I don't know if you offer courses in this or if you have written material.
No, I have not written anything, but I have published many articles. If you read those articles, you get it.
You do get it.
There are books in the Vedic astrology, and not only that, moment you are really interested in knowing about Vedic astrology, you will find a way, you will be directed.
That's right.
You have to be really interested.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Casual interest means nothing.
Yes, that's true. Well, you know what's interesting, and yeah, this is so true, because when he sent me this article and said, "Oh, you know, you should look at this, and it speaks to what we're doing right now," then I really started getting more interested, and something to this, even you know more. And now I'm here, I'm talking to you, so you're right. Can't be casual, you know.
Yes.
That's a good indicator for everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I have to tell you, Chakrapani, too, that our a couple of people in our chat room, you know, on the website, they renamed it to the Sacred Space of Empowerment. So it's no longer called the chat room. It's the Sacred Space of Empowerment.
Fantastic. Very good name.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, what would you recommend people that want to get a reading with you? What would you recommend people start with? Is there any?
It's a natal chart reading. Most important, because that is what gives you the picture of yourself. Because I tell you, it is a self-awareness.
Okay.
It is the beginning for self-awareness, having a natal chart reading.
Okay, the beginning of the self-awareness. So.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and we had back another question, okay, about the Mercury. Okay, in Vedic astrology, what is the Mercury retrograde? They wanted me to ask you this. We have a question in the chat. What is
basically, Mercury retrogression means, since the Mercury indicates the mind and the intellect, one has to be more watchful. You have to watch your mind in any kind of work or activity you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are able to watch and follow it, nothing wrong can take place. Otherwise, you are likely to miss something.
Mm-hmm.
You are likely to do something wrong. And you are likely to forget something. You know, many things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So maybe that's why I was hearing from my guides, pay attention.
Pay attention. More attention than normal.
More attention than normal. Okay.
Yes.
So watch intellect. And obviously that would be with what's going on around you.
Correct.
But, okay.
But whatever you are connected with, whatever you are doing,
mm-hmm.
especially, be cautious. Whatever you are talking, be watchful.
Mm-hmm. So would that be even in thoughts?
Because it is all about even in thoughts. Therefore, when things go wrong, it is because we miss something, we misunderstood, misunderstanding, difference of opinion, disagreement, and information.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Chakrapani, you know, when the Mercury is retrograde, would you, in the Vedic tradition, look at what sign it's retrograde in? Would that have anything also to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Not only any sign, it is for the individual, it depends in his chart where it is. That is important.
Mm-hmm.
In a person's chart,
mm-hmm.
which sign it is retrograde. Mm-hmm. So it has less impact or more impact depending on the particular sign.
Mm-hmm. And you said earlier some people aren't affected by Mercury retrograde. Are there same people that...
What did you say?
You said some people are not affected?
Yes, correct.
Okay, is that forever? I mean, are there some... Have you met some people...
Some people it doesn't affect.
Ever?
No, in a particular sign, it doesn't affect. On some other sign, it may affect.
Okay. But I mean forever, but does it affect everyone at some point?
Yeah, yes, correct.
It does, okay.
Correct.
I'm just wanting to see if some people get off scot-free here.
No, nobody's scot-free.
Oh, yeah. Sylvia's putting, we're all nudged to pay more attention. So if, I think it's in Scorpio right now, but you read things differently. It's a little bit different in the aspect of the sign, right?
Correct.
Okay. I think it's in Taurus. Is it in Vedic astrology? Is it in Taurus?
No.
Oh, it's
Vedic,
not.
Vedic astrology, Mercury, this is a May month. Mercury is in Taurus, correct.
Oh, it is also. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what would you say, because Mercury is retrograde in Taurus, that people would need to pay attention to or be more aware of?
It depends on the individual chart, I said.
Oh, it still would be. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So it would have to do with their
chart. Everything with their chart.
Okay.
If their chart, it affects somebody's chart, it doesn't affect.
Mm-hmm. I guess the reason because in Western astrology, there would be another difference there, is that it's almost like a blanket statement.
Everybody is affected.
Yes.
In fact, most of the time I travel to places, you know, for giving lectures or reading, mm-hmm. and the Mercury is retrograde. I don't even bother.
Really? Oh, gosh.
You can see in my website, I have traveled many, many times, different times, to Washington, D.C., here, there, New York, and the Mercury is retrograde.
Okay, that's very...
People don't travel. I do travel.
So you're perhaps doing your... It's good for you because of your... What's
correct.
In your chart then. Okay.
Correct.
You know, part of what I'm hearing, it seems like the Vedic astrology is more,
specific. More
yeah,
specific.
More specific and more to the person.
Correct. Perfect.
Okay, that's
it. It's not blanket statement for everybody.
Not blank, no. And that's, that's interesting. That's part of what, yeah. That is a big difference, because in the Western there are a lot of blanket, this is this time or that time. So part of it is that you really have to know your chart.
Correct. That is correct.
Now, Chakrapani, once somebody has their chart with you, the natal chart, do you suggest updates?
Yes, I say yearly readings, and I suggest yearly readings, and I suggest people... discuss about their health if they've got discussion about health. I suggest about compatibility if they want to get married. I suggest auspicious dates if they are getting married, or auspicious dates to starting a business, or auspicious dates doing anything productive.
Mm.
So there are so many things one can do. Compatibility, discuss health, finance. If the people want to know about their money aspects, then we can discuss that. You know, there are so many. Anything in anybody's life can be discussed.
Okay. So even if somebody's obviously embarking on a new venture, you would be
yes,
able to...
Very important.
Is that? Okay.
Embarking on a new venture means creating a new life, as if.
Okay.
That means that you are creating a birth for something. So that means it has birth chart becomes very important.
Mm-hmm. So you could, you would be able to tell when to start that or initiate that.
Correct.
Now, would you have, let's say you're doing something with more than one person. Let's say I came to you for something that I'm going to be working on.
No, different people, different dates, depending on their chart.
Okay. But you wouldn't necessarily need to read everybody's chart, or would you, if you're working with more than one person? Let's say it's a company.
A company, then I'll create a chart for the company.
Okay.
And the chief person, CEO of the company.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But you're still saying, no, but... Now, would you still, let's say somebody hasn't done a chart with you.
Yes.
And they're coming to you, let's say, for a birth. They're starting a new venture.
Yeah, then I have to do his chart.
Would you have to do the natal chart first?
Then I don't have to do the natal chart, but I will have his chart done.
you would have the chart done. Okay.
Yes, very important. He will be influencing the company too.
Mm-hmm. When you mean the other person?
Yeah, he's the CEO. Company has its own chart, and the CEO has chart. And when they are together, the two taxing, whether they are complementary or they are in contradiction. We have to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea, because then you would also know what would be coming up.
Correct.
Maybe even communication.
That's correct.
You know, not just approaches.
Many things, because there is a company, as a head of the company, whether he will have a good influence or a negative influence, he is passing through a rough time, and therefore the company will have a little time. Whether he has got a good period passing through, therefore it will benefit the company in which he is working, all the factors.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm asking also, Chakrapani, if somebody's coming, let's say, for starting a new venture, would you still need to do the natal chart for them?
I should do the natal chart, at least the only information, at least.
Okay, and then you, and then the birth of something new.
Yes.
And then we had a question here, what from New Light, that they have Mercury retrograde in their chart. Does that mean that they have to pay more attention all the time?
Communication, attention, depends in which place for him there, whether it is in the rising sign or in the seventh house, you know, it depends on where it is placed in their particular chart.
Okay.
Again, coming back to the same thing, Astro-Vedic is very personal and very individual. It
mm-hmm.
is not applicable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is only applicable to that person.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, blanket statement. That, because it could be, I would suppose, if it's like a Mercury and Gemini or something, if it's more communication, then there might be more communication issues.
Correct.
But if it's an, you know, maybe an Earth sign, then that would bring another set of,
correct.
You know, awareness.
Correct.
Now, we do have one question. You did say, yeah, obviously, people could go to the form on the website, but we have a new listener that is asking, what is the best to prepare for a reading with you, Chakrapani? What do you suggest?
Have all kinds of questions he has got. Any kind of question, keep it ready.
Okay. Keep it. So would you suggest people write down the questions?
Yes. They can send the question in advance, or they can even get the time of the reading. I don't care. I don't have to think too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I will be giving answer on the spot.
And then we have another question here. Now, those that, do you see people in person?
Pardon?
Do you see people, Chakrapani, do you see people in person, or?
Most of my clients, I have never met them.
More by phone?
All by phone.
Okay, good.
I never met.
Okay.
And I have clients at least in this country, in every city.
Yes.
Every city of this country,
yes.
All big.
And I'm in England too, lots of England.
Of course, I have got clients everywhere. But in America, every small city, anywhere in America, I have clients.
Good. So, okay, because they're wanting to know, they don't live in the area. So, yes, so you don't have to worry.
No problem.
You could, the readings are by phone.
By phone, absolutely.
Okay. Vastu, I'm looking at Vastu Shastra.
Vastu Shastra, yes.
Is that?
That is called Vedic architecture.
Vedic architecture. Okay.
Vastu Shastra.
So you would be doing a chart for an office or a location?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, okay. Or reading the energy of it through the chart.
Yes, and all the how to understand the house, prepare a house.
Mm-hmm.
The house.
Well, Chakrapani, this has been wonderful. This has been a real treat for me. especially finding out the synchronicities of some of the our background, which is great. That was wonderful talking with you.
Wonderful. Nice meeting you. It was a great pleasure for me.
Oh, me too. So I want to let everybody know again, we have been speaking with Vedic astrologer and wise sage, Chakrapani. And you can reach him at chakrapani.com, C-A-K-R-A-P-A-N-I, chakrapani.com. Chakrapani, thank you so much for being on Awakenings.
Boy, my greatest pleasure.
All right. And thank you, listeners, for connecting in to Awakenings. It's always great to see all of you here and hear all of you. It's really, really been wonderful. As always, you are what makes Awakenings. It is because of you, your insight, your awareness, your questions, your wisdom of path and your sharing. And I really, really appreciate all of you. And it's an honor to walk these steps with you. Those of you that would like to listen to the archive, you know where it is. Awakenings on blogtalkradio.com or iTunes. And just a shout out to the new listeners from Twitter. And if you'd like to follow the updates of Awakenings on Twitter, you can go to Awakenings Tweet. And also, I have a fan page that was started on Facebook. Very fun, very cool way to connect with people and share your insights and your path and process with others. And that's Awakenings Radio on Facebook. Peace and light to everyone, and go out there, continue to shine your light and keep awake. Part of the converging flow, radiant light field. Know that, live that, continue to shine.